Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to our today's conference call. Before we start with the presentations, please let me make a few housekeeping remarks. The first and most important one immediately at the beginning. So the conference call today replaces the conference call for which we have invited for next week. That means the conference call on the 6th of December will not take place because we have the conference call today. But next week, there is, as you know, our Technologies Capital Markets Day. And on that day, on the 7th of December, we will also have Guido Kerkhoff attending the Capital Markets Day, and he will give a short summary of our today's presentation, and you have the chance to discuss the latest financial results and the outlook for next year with Guido. The next thing is that all the documents here for this call are available on the IR section of our website, as always, and a replay of this call will be available shortly after the call. So this is it now from my side, and I would like now to hand over to Heino Schiesinger to start the presentation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. If I summarize the full year, then we can really say that we have a very strong operating performance and good progress in our strategic development, however, also significant impairments. But let me start with our operative business. Our order did grow by 22% and our sales by 15%, and this is at the top end of our guidance, 10%-15%. Our adjusted EBIT before carve-out was up by 42% to roughly 1.8 billion. This is definitely at the low end of our guidance, but it did more than compensate the negative adjusted EBIT of 1.07 billion at Steel Americas, and that also includes the negative four quarters of our stainless business. The net debt did improve slightly compared to prior year. This is definitely a consequence of our sale of the treasury shares, but on the other hand, we also could stand up to our target that we deliver an operative cash flow of around 1 billion in Q4, and this is really the highest quarterly cash flow in 6 years. We are consistently and persistently executing our strategic development concept, and we do make progress in virtually all our M&A announcements. We have carved out our stainless business and are today in a position with audited year-end results to be prepared for all options going forward. But we also leadership teams who make the necessary decisions and actions, and that drove us to the decision that we need to impair our American steel business and also our stainless global business. So our stainless global is definitely a preparation to make it a single standing business on the market, and on our Steel Americas, it has several issues. You know that we have overrun the original investment budget. The ramp up is delayed and shows much higher losses than we originally did expect. Then the exchange rate and also the WACC is slightly working against us. And with a very weak market in US, the market introduction goes a little slower than we did originally expect. And adding all up, this made it necessary to make an impairment in the size of 2.1 billion. The outlook, it's clearly that it doesn't make sense today to give a guidance for the full year, because the fundamental fact, what we see on the market, is so much influenced by the uncertainty on from the financial side, that we do believe anybody who tries is not really making a serious approach to it. Guido will come back to that issue in a minute. But let me give some more details to our operational performance. And we show all in two pictures, the figures including stainless, and the other figures as continued operations, where Inoxum, our stainless business, is already separated. And these are the figures which you will see really in our financial really results. As said before, order intake climbed by 22%. up to 15 billion before the stainless carve-out, or 45 billion including or only looking on continued operations. And apart from elevator technology, where orders went up by 4%, all other business areas did show a double-digit growth figure. And also today, going forward, we see that components and plants really show a good demand pattern even going forward in the first business years. Group sales increased by 15% to a little more than 49 billion, including stainless, or 43.4 on continuing operations. And sales did improve in all business areas, and main driver was definitely the materials and components business. If we look on adjusted EBIT, I believe this is a significant achievement to show a 42% increase to 1.8 billion, considering that we had to compensate the ramp-up losses in the Americas, the negative losses in Q4 in stainless, because actually this does mean that the other businesses actually delivered overall 2.8 billion euro, which shows the strength of the rest of our businesses. Clearly, the EBIT, including all, is heavily impacted by the impairment, which I did already explain a minute ago. Some more details are given here. As I said, on the Americas, it's the cost side, the longer and more expensive ramp-up, but also the exposure on the Brazilian reals, because you need to keep in mind that during the ramp-up, the local portion, including the repair costs we do have, is larger than we will have in a later stable operation. And naturally, also the market with the smooth conditions in U.S. give us some headache, especially due to the fact that in the running and the next year, our premium share on the automotive side will still be a minor one. That means we now need to work through with normal commodity quality. And this makes us very sensitive to spot market price. It will change over time, but for the next 2 years, we cannot avoid this fact. We have clearly initiated measures. We have recognized that the former separation to make sure that Steel Europe is not affected by the erection and ramp-up issues. We now see much more benefits in bringing Americas and Europe much closer together in operation and in the way to market. And therefore, we have initiated a project which is called Steel in Transition, really handling all those sides together. And they have really brought up a comprehensive optimization roadmap. And this new way going forward is also supported by some personal decisions, which we might discuss later, that now my colleague Edwin Eichler is taking over responsibility for both Steel Europe and Steel Americas to really make sure that synergies, but also market success, is given. What is important to clarify that the impairment do not generate cash outflow and that our financial situation of the company is not weakening. It's on, let's say, we really kept our equity on constant level. Clearly, this is a consequence, probably today we can say, of our excellent timing to sell our treasury shares. But it's also a consequence of our capability to generate 1 billion free cash out of operations business. So our equity was nearly kept at 10.3 billion, and consequently also our equity ratio and our gearing went even down by roughly 2%. What is also, I think, important, and it confirms our strategic way of going forward, that meanwhile, our diversification is extremely beneficial for ThyssenKrupp and also will be beneficial in the year going forward. Because you see here the split between the contribution out of our material division and our technology division. In order intake, material is still dominating with 34.5 billion. But if we make stainless a separate business, it will shrink. Roughly 20 million are already coming from technologies. In sales, a similar picture. But if we look at EBIT adjusted, then we see that the major contribution, more than 70%, is already today coming from technologies. And if we look on the capability to generate free cash flow, all is coming from technologies. And this is also important when Giri later will come to the outlook. He will clearly describe that our technology business is running very, very smoothly. What makes us a little careful is the difficult start on the material side. But once again, I want to re-emphasize again that we strongly believe that our decision to diversify ThyssenKrupp pays already off today and gives much more opportunities going forward. Naturally, what you can expect from us, that we benchmark each of the pillars, but this is clearly what we committed to you. Let me come to our strategic way forward. As I said, we are consistently executing and in all dimensions, in our portfolio side, but also coming back to our company program impact, contributing to our EBIT line, but also contributing to our net working capital line, and over time, really enabling our organization to deliver better results. Let me just emphasize today the portfolio side, but just to make clear, we are working on all elements. I think the portfolio side I can better describe on the next picture. You did already know that we succeeded in selling the metal forming, and now we have also completed the sale of the Xervent Group to Remondis. We could close the deal Wednesday this week. This is extremely important because this is a new home for 9,000 of our employees. So you remember that we said 35,000 people are impacted. Meanwhile, we have already sold businesses where more than 15,000 people are involved. We have good progress in the selling process of Vopaca and Taylor Blank. We approached the market with our Vopaca business. We really got great interest. A lot of companies who give signals that will participate in offering. On Taylor Blank side, we did already receive offers, which we are now evaluating. We have made all good progress in integrating Bilstein together with Presta Steering. And you know that we will sharpen the portfolio of this unit by carving out the spring and stabilizer business, which we will bring to the market in a later process. The sale of the Brazilian automotive system business is well advanced. We have signed an agreement with Cosma International, which is part of a Magna Group. Today, the supervisory board did approve the sale, and so we are quite optimistic that next week we can close this deal again. On the marine side, we are in negotiations with investors. We have a very clear understanding. Either we come to an agreement within December, or we will go for own restructuring. So in any case, latest for our General Assembly, you will have a very clear idea where this business is going. On our stainless business in Oxum, we have implemented the new leadership team and the new name. We have carved out the businesses and have completed audited consolidated financial statements, which is the base for whatever option we will take. And we are really committed to really complete the separation within 12, 18 months, calculated from May, meaning by end of calendar year 12. Some of you were afraid because we did not use the AGM to decide of a spin-off, but our real belief is that the market environment is not really favorable, also not for a spin-off, and we have so many other options that we rather thought we evaluate all options carefully and then make a decision. And even not taking the first opportune AGM, we are not at risk not completing the separation within calendar year 2012. I rather would consider the impairment of the 800 million as a clear signal how serious we take the separation, because the 800 million was, the majority was done comparing our Inoxum with fair market value as a separate business. With that, I would like to give you some signals out from the market. I know that this is probably the greatest disappointment to you, and is not very favorable for our share price today. But as a matter of fact, I do believe anybody trying to give the opinion that the uncertainty in the financial market has no impact on real economy is not telling the truth. Yeah? And here we have clear indicators that we have a softening in some customer end markets. On the other hand, the market is so volatile that with the open political decisions to stable both euro and U.S. currency, we cannot give an outlook which goes for the full 12 months. We can only give you a description for the first 3 months, which is given on the next slide. Once again, our strength is diversity. We see our technologies business really running very smooth and very well, solid sales and EBIT contribution, as you have seen in prior year. On Steel Europe side, we clearly see supply adjustments, lower volume, and lower EBIT due to ongoing destocking on the market. And clearly, our customers have learned from 2009, they do not want to have inventory on hand until end of December. We are proactively reacting to it. We take capacity out of the market, so we have decided that we will really shut down one of the blast furnaces. On Steel Americas, we have uncertainties on the spot market. As I said, we are the next 2 years very sensitive to spot market because we still are only with a very small portion certified by OEM. So we are competing on commodity. And we have still the very open and transparent discussed technical issues. And major improvement only after completion of the coking plant somewhere in April next year. On our material service side, it reflects the same picture than Steel Europe, lower volume and consequences, lower EBIT. There is really an uncertainty, and this keeps our customer away from ordering. On the technology side, we can more or less say all with solid sales and EBIT development. Also in our components business, we have still very solid, in some parts even growing order intake, so at least for the first quarter, most likely even until February, we can say that our components business is running on a very reliable level. Nevertheless, adding technology materials, we clearly have to state that material is strongly weaker and consequently our Q1 EBIT adjusted will be weaker than a year ago. We are acting. I hope you see with the announcement said before that the slightly more difficult market environment is not hindering us from executing our strategic roadmap, and I hope you can also see the benefit of choosing growth being a diversified industrial. So we once again commit that our portfolio measures will be completed, executed in next calendar year. As I said, I have already said the stable earning contribution out of technologies area. In order to prepare, we have made a capex freeze so that the maximum spending we will limit to 2 billion of the continued operations. And definitely beneficial to that is that the peak of our capex spending in Steel Americas is behind us. The good story is we do not have any short-term financing needs. Let's say our liquidity is secure for the next next 2 years at least. On the operational side, we have already adjusted our supply chain. And as I said, in Steel Europe, we make a proactive step. We take out blast furnace number 9. And this, I think, will be healthy to really give a signal to the market. On our impact broadening side, we clearly ramped up our measures. And this will contribute around about 300 million savings on the EBIT side. And with that, I would like to hand over to my colleague Guido.
A very warm welcome from my side as well. And I would like to start with the trading conditions as they impacted our order intake and our sales into Q4. If you take a look on the order intake, you see quarter on quarter a decline going from 14 billion to 12 billion. But this is mainly a function of the 2 billion submarine order placed by the Turkish Navy in the preceding quarter. Ex-Marine Systems, we have a strong order intake at Plant Technology, which was quarter on quarter up by 34%. Especially UDE could win several sizable orders for fertilizers and petrochemical plants. Mainly seasonal and sentiment-driven weaker orders were at steel and at material services, as we could see some weakening here already in the fourth quarter. Nevertheless, year on year, we're up by 13% across virtually all business areas. Taking a look at sales, we see a split picture overall. Quarter on quarter, it's slightly down by 2% to 12.6 billion, but mainly materials were a bit down and technologies was up. We have a lower sales at Steel Europe, down by 13%, mainly volume driven, which accounts for 12% of it. We have lower sales at Steel Americas, down by 15%, given lower slab sales to Europe, which was down by 150,000 tons to 212,000 tons in Q4. Lower sales at Material Services by 5%, again, mainly volume driven. Marine systems were lower, but as I already said, we have seen some effects there from the Turkish marine. On the other hand, elevator technology was up on sales by 7% across virtually all regions and in the U.S. as well. Higher sales of plant technology are strongly up across all operating units. Year on year, overall, we're up 10% across all business areas. On the results, materials affected by seasonality and uncertainties towards end of Q4. Our Q4 is always a seasonally a weaker quarter as we have the whole summer season in there. Nevertheless, quarter on quarter, group's adjusted earnings was down by 140 million to 426. We had lower shipments at Steel Europe, and especially in the stainless business, the declining nickel price was driving the results a bit down. This could not be compensated by the marginally less negative adjusted earnings at Steel Americas, which did improve from 190 in Q3 to 184 in Q4, so mainly at the same level. However, significant structural progress reflected in the comparison to prior year quarter. Adjusted group earnings more than quadrupled, as virtually all businesses apart from stainless could improve contributions, and Steel Americas with almost half the losses. Nevertheless, as mentioned, the EBIT adjusted for the group from continuing operations in Q1 will be clearly below the prior year quarter, which was at 273 million, including stainless with 7 million result. The material-related businesses had a tough start into the new fiscal year. Volumes are expected to be lower at Steel Europe, and we are facing tough spot market prices and technical issues that will drag on the performance of Steel Americas. Declining spot prices will, on the other hand, take their toll on the material services result as well. That's why it's again worth highlighting that ThyssenKrupp is much more than a steel or materials group. And then let's move on to the earnings provided by the technology businesses. You see that for the full year with the 443, we have almost a bit more than double in Q4 than the contribution of the steel businesses, which contributed with 205 million. Nonetheless, Steel Europe has to be mentioned with a strong performance in Q4. Despite lower shipments, especially if you take a look at the margin in the fourth quarter, we seem to be benchmark level among European competitors. Although quarter on quarter earnings were down by 21%, however, year on year, they were up 31%. Steel America, further, albeit small, but sequential improvements compared to the prior quarter. Year on year, we have almost half the losses, but they remain, nevertheless, at a very high level. And improvements we can expect for the second half of the financial year 11 and 12 due to the ramp-up of especially battery C then. Material services had a robust sequential performance despite lower volumes. Year on year, EBIT was up 26%, and the margin was constant to prior quarter. Technology businesses overall continued to exceed prior year profitability. Elevator, with a strong finish to the year, year on year and quarter on quarter, EBIT and margins were up. Plant technology, as expected, quarter on quarter margin down, but above 10%. Absolute contributions quarter on quarter roughly flat given the strong top line sales. Year on year comparison underlines strong performance, EBIT up 26% to 129 across all business units and margin by 120 basis points to 10.8. Components, quarter on quarter slightly weaker performance bit seasonality, a bit more R&D costs. Nevertheless, year-on-year EBIT adjusted more than doubled to 121 million. Marine Systems, in line with the expected run rate of roughly 20 to 25 million per quarter, ex special or ex aperiodic items. Stainless, nickel price driven quarter on quarter down to minus 51, despite strong contributions of the high performance alloys. And we have to keep in mind the ramp up losses of 44 million. So before ramp up losses, they were close to zero. Difficult environment, seasonally weak quarter, especially in Italy, and the nickel prices. Reconciliation EBIT adjusted to EBIT reported. As you can see on the chart, we have 2.8 billion, almost of corrections here. Steel Americas, 2.1 million EBIT effect of the impairment of PPEs, construction in progress and transfer taxes inventories. On Stainless Global, the goodwill and the IFRS adjustment we had to take to reconcile to the fair value we see on the markets was up to 800 million. The disposal of Severn was 55. Elevator, that was positive, the partial refund of the antitrust fine with 160, and an impairment reversal at Wopaka for Components Technologies, where we restarted Factory 6 and had certain effects on Factory 5 as well. Corporate, some provisions for litigation risk, makes up for the 2.8 billion special items we saw here. The full year 2010-11 was impacted by significant non-cash charges in most of our figures. Having said that, the reported EBITDA was not affected so much by it, and quarter on quarter it was down to 825, but was already giving an indication of the cash flow capability as the EBITDA as a cash-related item. Year on year, we were up 206 million, and the vast majority of all our special items were below our EBITDA. Reported EBIT was definitely down to the minus 2.9 billion by the special effects. Net income as well, and please keep in mind that a part of our impairment charges were allocated to minority shares in the CSA results. Therefore, our net income after minorities was not as much affected as the 100% result we see. EPS was down to minus 3.75 per share. The cash flow, moving to the cash flow, we had a positive operating free cash flow in Q4 of 1.6 billion. H2 was 2.3 billion versus minus 1.5 in the first half, with positive contributions from all businesses besides Steel Americas and Marine Systems, mainly driven by strong networking capital releases that helped the cash flow performance, especially at Material Services. We had around 900 million here. Overall, inventories have been worked down by 423 million. Therefore, we have made significant progress in reducing our net debt. Quarter on quarter, they were down by more than 40%, or almost 2.7 billion, now to 3.6 overall. This is explained by mainly two things. One was the 1 billion, a bit more than 1 billion of positive free cash flow in the last quarter, which is in line with the outlook we gave in the last call, and 1.6 billion proceeds from selling our treasury shares. For the next year, please expect that the net debt will be volatile throughout the whole year. We see a certain pattern at ThyssenKrupp, which we think will repeat into the next year as well, and therefore Q1 and likely Q2 will go up. Nevertheless, to constantly work on a positive free cash flow development and bringing our net debt figure down remains our highest priority in the company. Our financial situation, Heinrich was already giving an outline to that. We have a solid financial situation with no short-term refinancing needs. For the end of September, we have a free, available, committed credit facilities and cash equivalents amounting of up to 8.3 billion, and we have maximum 2 billion of debt to be refinanced or paid back in the upcoming years. So therefore, we are sure that we are financed through for at least 2 years. Taking a look on the CapEx, as you see, including the stainless businesses, 2.8 billion in the year. We were slightly above our 2.5 billion target. All business areas, apart from Steel Americas, had somewhat higher spending. And on top of that, we had an 0.1 million smaller acquisition at Elevator, which was foreseen for Q1 this year, but really came in into place in the last days of the last calendar year. So we took it, of the last fiscal year, sorry. So we took it, and therefore we had to face 2.8, which was slightly above our guidance. Nevertheless, taking a look in the future, we have decided on a CapEx freeze here internally after we drew up our budget, and from continued operations, we do not expect to spend, or we expect to spend maximum 2 billion CapEx next year. And please keep in mind that the peak of the CapEx program for Steel Americas now should be behind us. Free cash flow development overall, the 1 billion free cash flow in the fourth quarter was the highest quarterly free cash flow in over 6 years. Nevertheless, we are for the fifth year in a row now with minus 1.6 billion still negative, and returning to sustainable and positive free cash flows is again our priority number one. Therefore, I would come in short to the business area performance. Steel Europe, just a couple of words. We had a strong EBIT overall, and we had a strong margin with 8.3%, which clearly gives us a view on the market and where we are benchmarked so far. But orders, if we take a look at the current trading conditions, have not really picked up so far. Premium order remains robust, but absolute inventories are rather low. Nevertheless, for fiscal Q1, we expect lower volumes and roughly flat revenues per ton at higher raw material costs. Steel Americas, as you saw on volumes, slightly down in CSA slab production, slightly up over Q3 in shipments. The result at minus 184, more or less on the level at Q3. Given the early stage currently of the ramp-up and the product mix and the customer mix, of course, we're still away from our targets. Material services, the fourth quarter was slightly behind in order intake and in revenues compared to the previous quarter, but margin remained on a stable level for the upcoming years. Trading conditions in Q1 seems to be, like the steel business, a bit below. Elevator highlight, margin was up compared to prior quarter to 12.4%. Overall for the year now, we have a full year margin of 12.2%, roughly in line with what we had in the prior year, which was at 12.5%, a bit higher. The refund of the antitrust fine has not been included in this figure. Plant technology, strong order intake of close to 1.5 billion. Therefore, revenue was strongly up, margin still above 10%. As we said in Q2 and Q3, we had some very good contracts that were closed, so that we had the extraordinary high margin in that business. Current trading conditions, still strong order intake, margin back to normalized level, but should constantly develop as we had it. Components, margin was slightly down at 6.9, order intake at 1.7. Current trading conditions, again here, we have a strong and increasing order intake, so the visibility for Q1 and maybe even early Q2 for next year is on a very good level. Our special item here was the reversal of the 40 million, the positive impairment reversal, where we reopened the iron foundry of Bopaka in the U.S. Marine systems down to normal levels of around 20 million, 21 million in EBIT, so we now had a normalized result, which we expect for the next quarter to be on that level as well. Stainless Global, discontinued now, minus 51. Out of that, 44 million was ramp-up losses from the U.S., so beside that was close to zero, minus 7 million. But the market and the nickel price seems to be weakening the business overall. We had an EBIT adjustment, the goodwill, and the 500 million asset impairment already included here. With that, I would come to the conclusion with a perspective on the financial year. As we already said, for the financial year 11-12, we have a limited visibility so far. For Q1, we see solid technologies, but a rather difficult start on the materials side. Steel Americas, step changes only to be expected for the second half of the year. We're working on the CapEx, max $2 billion for the next year, and our impact, the cost programs and cost savings we have included in that program go up to 300 million already next year.
Thank you very much, Guido. Heinrich, now operator, please take over.
Our first question comes from the line of Alexander Hassel. Please go ahead with your question.
So good afternoon. This is Alex Heisel from Schiffer in Frankfurt. I have a few questions, not surprisingly, on Steel Americas. Can you give us more details on the ramp-up? Where are the real problems if it's more on the steel mill? What should change if the destuffing system is basically up and running? The second question is, can you give us an indication where the current output is in the Brazilian operation? Is it still between 60% and 70%? Because to me, it seems you're still building up slab inventories because you're producing 850 and shipping in the US 420 and exporting to Europe 200 million. Can you give us more insight on the inventory situation? And the last question that I have on Steel Americas, it's more of a strategic question because overall it seems to be a never-ending story somewhat. Would you rule out selling the entire CSA project to Vale or some other player? The other question is on the Xiavon divestment. Can you give us an indication what would be the cash in the first quarter 2011 and 12? Many thanks. That's all from my side.
Yeah. Alexander, coming back to the technical issues of Steel Americas, if you look in Brazil, then it's still the issues which we always did share with you. It's specifically the biggest item are the coking plant, but also, let's say, the gas chamber. The only new one which came up is that we had a quality issue on our gas turbine, which is a warranty issue. And you asked me about the utilization. I highlighted in let's say in our outlook that in Q1 we have to face the consequences that for 3 weeks one of our blast furnaces went down because we kept it running on such a low level, and then we had very heavy rain, so it got cold for 3 weeks, and now that out of that we decided that we keep it at a slightly higher level and will run the two blast furnaces at round about 70%. On US, overall, as we reported regularly, the situation is much better. Nevertheless, there was also quality issues from our supplier. That stand number 7 did break. This was a material issue. It will be replaced by December. But the point was that, again, we had a setback in delivering high-quality material for specification. We, again, because only with a 7 stand, we can really go for the premium, which makes a difference. And this gave us a little headache there. But as I said, we will recover. The other point in U.S., but this is not limiting us at all, is that one out of the 4 ovens, was damaged during commissioning. This will be in operation in August again. But this one is not limiting us at all because the other 3 lines are running very, very stable. But your statement is absolutely right. If you calculate it out of that fact, we have at the moment, an inventory level in U.S. which is slightly above normal level, which we would like to see. Naturally, I hopefully you recognize this. This board is very open not only to work operationally, but also consistently evaluate strategic options. But whatever options we might consider for Steel Americas, a stable operation is the precondition for any move. And that is why we put all efforts on this one. But if for whatever reason we would see the necessity for strategic moves, we are prepared to do so.
Coming back to your Xavon question, that will be a net debt effect of above 200 million.
Perfect. Many thanks for the detailed answers. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Bastian Sinagovic. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Dr. Hiesinger, first of all, a couple of questions again coming back on Steel Americas, because I guess you should have a relatively good visibility on what are precisely items which have, let's say, a certain extraordinary character. And firstly, to come back on the gas turbine, what is the quarterly impact, and will you be compensated for this? Because it is, again, a brand new equipment part which is apparently not working properly. And then secondly, again, on the coke battery, at current coke prices, how much money would you have saved in the fourth quarter if you would assume that all three coke batteries are running according to plan, and also take into account the effect of the power plant where you still have to buy electricity and pass it on to your counterparty? Thank you.
Let me just come to the last one. I think the statement we always made, and we did not specifically distinct between the coke and the gas and the electricity and the repair work, and also, by the way, the limitations. But what we said is that probably around about half of the 1 billion losses is attributed to the fact that our integrated energy circle right now is not running properly.
And how much was that then precisely in the last quarter of the loss of 184?
I think the fourth quarter was slightly better because, you know, since July you have already battery B buying, but I think you can really calculate it by the improvement we have made quarter by quarter. This probably gives you a very good idea to that.
I mean, couldn't you just give us a number for that? And I mean, I think that should give us a relatively good visibility on how that would improve also over the next year once you have actually ramped up this battery in full.
I think this is. I think we do not detail this more because there are so many. I think the ratios or dependency on each other that this would not make sense. We would need to sit together and really look on the sketch and work it through in detail.
Okay, it's not just the coke alone. It depends then on what PCI rate you can get done. What you do with the gas? Do the turbines work? Do all other ducts work? So it's really interlinked. It doesn't make sense to have one figure out there. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't lead to a correct calculation.
Okay, maybe, or just to ask it another way around, then, I mean, what improvement would you be confident about to deliver versus the fourth calendar quarter once you basically hit the second half of the new starting business year?
As I said, we do expect that the operational improvement will be of a similar size we could see when we had battery B, but we do not know what is taken away from us by the raw material and by the market situation. We know that the operational improvement might give a similar lift up, but as I said, we still have to consider what is then, at that time, the spot price market and the raw material price market, and the three combination together will then decide what is the EBIT result which we will see.
Okay, perfect. Then, again, one more question on the targeted cost savings. Until when do these cost savings come through in the course of the next quarters? And then also regarding your CapEx, we have given the guidance for, how much do you still have to spend on Steel Americas, and how much would still come on top for the stainless expansion as well, as long as you have it on the balance sheet? And then finally, what can we expect for working capital if we extrapolate the current scenario throughout 2012?
Let me start with the cost program. The impact program will have a certain ramp up, but there are already some measures in place so that we will have already some figures we can communicate in Q1, so it's not only that. On CapEx, yes, we will have some related CapEx to battery C and to the repair works and some other things we will do. It will definitely be below what we have seen this year, but still some amounts that we can come to a stable situation where we need the normal maintenance CapEx of something like around 100 million. That will take at least a year that we're there.
So did you say around 100 million maintenance CapEx going forward for the full year Steel Americas?
That will not be for the next year. Next year will be higher. If we once are in a stable status, then we might be down there. For the next year, it will be above that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Hermann Reit. Please go ahead with the question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Two questions, please. Given the impairments taken for Steel Americas, what will be the effect on the depreciation level of the business unit? And what will be the total level of depreciation in Steel Americas in the future? Then on the idling of Blast Furnace 9, when the idling will start and how long probably it will last till it will be restarted. And given the idling, what will be the level of deliveries from the Brazilian plant to Duisburg then?
Coming back to your question on the depreciation, 1.6 out of the 2.1 is related to fixed assets mainly. And if you assume that our average depreciation time is about 20 years, I think your calculation is about right. The blast furnace.
On a blast furnace, you know, in order to prepare the blast furnace for coil, let's say, cool down. And first, we need to heat it up to really make sure that everything melts. This is started right now, and we will take it out of operation first week of January, so when workers are back from Christmas break. This decision, let's say, will not make it necessary to increase the slabs brought over from Brazil for two options. One reaction to take out the blast furnace number 9 is, let's say, a consequence of, let's say, the lower market demand and even more to the less attractive prices, because ThyssenKrupp, we are really going forward that we take price is for us more important than the volume. And if we have a little more chance on the market, then we can increase the output of our other three blast furnaces, let's say, to a level where we believe we can serve the attractive portion of the European market. So it will more or less can be handled purely on the European side.
Okay. And you have no plan when it will be restarted?
We have. We can do it by end of May again. So we can be back in full operation in June. Normally, we would say 180 days. But it gives us also the option. We will then clearly, beginning of May, decide what is the market situation? Is it attractive? Then we clearly blow it again. If not, then, you know, it's cold. Then we can wait.
Yeah. And perhaps also an additional question regarding half-year contracts renegotiated from the 1st of January. What amount of the shipments of Steel Europe will be that?
It will be 50%, but we did not close so far the pricing for 1st of January, because only since Wednesday last week the iron ore price is fixed. I think this was a wise decision, not fixing pricing, because you know that some other steel manufacturers, they started speculating by end of October, beginning of November, when iron ore went down some days to 120, some other days to 130. And they really went into a half-year contract. ThyssenKrupp did not. And now you see that the iron ore price for 1st of January until end of March will be $156 per ton. So it's only a release by $20 per ton compared to the running quarter. And this is for us now the basis for price discussion with our customers. Obviously, we cannot totally decouple from the market environment, but as I said, we rather take capacity out before we make nonsense.
Yeah. And how would you judge the visibility regarding customers' demand in the first quarter of 2012, calendar quarter?
This is why we are so cautious. At the moment, let's say all the wisdom existing on the market cannot really decide whether it's a very, very strong destocking cycle or whether the customers will really fundamentally reduce demand. This is question is still open, whether the market will come back in January and in February. But as we said, for risk mitigation reasons, we said in any case, even if the volume will come back, the market, the prices are too low, so let's rather play on a low volume game and take the open out.
Okay, thank you for taking all the questions. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andy Mohanita. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I've got a couple of questions, please. Back to the guidance of Q1 being down significantly year on year. I mean, if you look at Steel Americas was around about $370 million negative EBIT. And if you look at the run rate we had in Q4, we're running at about 180. So that's about a swing of roughly about 210. If you look at Europe services, and I guess I'm assuming that I don't know if you're including stainless in that materials cluster, can you give us a sense of where you expect to see the bigger impact? Also, one question, if I look at the plant technology business, most of your peers had some pretty significant earnings, margin improvements as well, but the plant tech business seemed to go the other way. Is that perhaps due to less exposure to mining, or can you give us some color on that? And very lastly, if I look at the free cash flow in Steel Europe, despite EBITDA being EBITDA did not move a great deal, but you had a significant free cash flow result, which talks about, I guess that's down to working capital. Can you give us a bit more color on what happened there, what's driving that? And very last question, you talked about net debt evolution over the next two quarters. Can you also give us some more color on what's driving that net debt increase? Because if I heard you correctly, I think you said net debt should increase in the next couple of quarters. Can you give us a bit more color on that, please? Thank you.
Coming back to the EBIT question over Q1, we expect, compared to the prior year, as we said, that Steel Europe might be lower. Steel Americas should definitely be better. But if you take a look at the performance in Q1 we had in the last year, you see that margin-wise, for example, Elevator had a very strong quarter, and we had some one-time effects on Marine Systems. So overall, if you take a look, yeah, we should be down, and we see it mainly coming from the figures, as we said, for Steel Europe. Some things we have to do on the Americas and Material Services being weaker, so that overall we'll be down a bit. Free cash flow of Steel Europe in the last quarter was impacted by many effects, but as you saw that, we had like always, the part of ThyssenKrupp and some other companies is that for the last quarter you have destocking and you have some things working on the net working capital side. So we had strong impacts here as well overall. So they had for the year end $500 million, including $250 million coming from the metal forming deal in the free cash flow. Net debt. As I said, the pattern, you always have a certain swing factor throughout the years at ThyssenKrupp, but Q1 especially is going down again, and therefore we will have to pick up throughout the year, and that's why I said we assume more or less a pattern like we saw in the last year, and so you can assume where we could roughly be.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Cedar Barnes. Please go ahead with your question.
Thanks very much, gentlemen. I have a quick question just on strategy. You are stressing that Thyssen is not purely a materials business, and obviously the majority of your earnings are coming from your technology divisions. However, if we look at the delta in earnings going forward, I mean, it's clear to see that the real driver of earnings into 2012, 2013 and beyond will still be your materials division, and so likely the market will continue to focus on those divisions. In order to, you know, better distill the value of your technology divisions, would you ever consider carving those assets out, or do you maintain Thyssen going forward as a combined materials and technology division, and therefore realizing that your technology assets in the near term will be, you know, that the earnings of the group will not be driven by those technology assets in terms of quarter on quarter? Thank you.
So we have clearly made the decision, and this is clearly also very strongly supported by our shareholders, that we go for a diversified industrial group because they see a benefit in working in different end markets who normally make sure that not all our businesses are affected by the same cycle, and so making the company much more robust on their capability to generate cash and profits, and this is actually what we see today. Nevertheless, your statement is definitely right. due to that significant negative earnings from Steel Americas, the upside is really much larger in make this running successfully. So this statement is right. I think we have to do two things. We need to work very much operational to solve this issue fast as possible. But then over time, we also need to make it very clear that also our capital efficiency and our ROCE plays an important role where we really allocate CapEx and others. And in that respect, also the upside on the margin improvement of technologies might be limited to a certain level because we have already achieved in moving more in that businesses, the upside on the ROCE and the capital efficiency has still tremendous potential. Yeah.
Okay, and then just one quick follow-up question. I'm not sure if you are going to disclose, but we've obviously had the write-down at your stainless division. Would you disclose the book value of those assets, or is that not public knowledge?
It's not public knowledge because I think this is a value for us for all the options we are, let's say, handling going forward.
But if you look at our financial reports, you can approach it pretty seriously.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Rochus Braunheiser. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi everybody. Just a follow-up question maybe on Steel Americas. Maybe could we get a precise update when exactly the coking plant is fully up and running with the three batteries? Guess when we were in Brazil, it wasn't that clear whether that would be rather in September or by December 2012. That's the first question. And okay, and maybe on the coking plant, I guess there were some speculations today in one newspaper saying that because of the configuration and because of the work done by the Chinese company CITIC, it will never be able to deliver that amount of steam to make the power plant fully running and creating limitations in selling electricity to the Brazilian market. Maybe can you also comment on that? And maybe coming back to the guidance on the first quarter, when you said that you expect the EBIT significantly below the last year, should we expect that this first quarter, which could be maybe 250 million EBIT, maybe less, is this the quarter which couldn't be regarded as the trough quarter? What is the sense you currently have on the second quarter? Will be that on a similar rate because we probably have to face further pressure on prices or the effect from the contract prices kicking in? On maybe finally on CapEx, the 2 billion you set as a maximum at the moment, how is that breaking up between steel and technology, and how much in this figure is implicitly reserved for M&A? Thank you.
Let me just take the first question about the coking plant, Steel Americas, and the expected completion. We do believe that we have completed or the first heat up by end of April, and then you will see a similar pattern than in battery B. Then probably in May we will have 30% output, and then in June maybe 60 to 70%. Now the statement that probably with the way it was built, we were limited in our capability to produce steam, would be right if we would not act, because how battery A and B was designed was that, for example, all the air inflows and primary secondary circuits on the oven was done mechanical. That means you could not really optimize the cooking time and the output. Now what we are investing is really that we automate all this so that you can really handle it from a control room, and we strongly believe that we can lift up the output, which is right now running at above 80%, at least to above 90-95%, and then we would be able to really come very close to the original planned steam output, which then, let's say, is used in our power plant. But again, we will regularly update here, but your statement was right. If we would not add additional automation, then really we would be limited.
coming back to your question, is Q1 trough or not? We're all hoping that it is, but as we said, we have a limited visibility for the full year, and it's depending on the development of pricing levels, both on the raw material and on our customer side. So therefore, it's hard to say currently. Taking a look at the CapEx, how does it break down to technologies and materials? The majority is still materials. Around 60% of the volume goes to the material side, 40% to technologies. M&A is just in smaller steps included, just small amounts.
Okay. And maybe on this question I had regarding the power plant contracts you have, how has the, is, are these original contracts still alive? Have you cancelled some of these contracts? And regarding the utilization of your blast furnace in Europe at the moment, you mentioned that you're shutting down number 9 early next year. What is your what is the load rate you see from January on your other operating blast furnaces by then?
Yeah, let me come back. The load rate which we have right now in the quarter is around about 80%. So that means if we would shut down number 9, then we could really ramp up the others to a normal level. This is why in an earlier question I said, even if the market would come back, then we would be able to, at least to a certain extent, react with an increased utilization on the other three blast furnaces, so even more, because we also consider HKM as a part of our capacity to react to it.
Power plant
contracts, they are still in or let's say the agreements are still valid. We have made sure that the way we operate it, we aren't running into any penalty issues. Yeah, so we, even with the A and B, we are right now able, let's say, to serve the contract, but we cannot, let's say, deliver as much as we planned originally into the net, into the grid.
Okay, maybe allow me a last question. You talked about this steel in transition project, and there has been changes to the management on the management team side. Can you explain? Can you explain us a little bit what might happen operationally as a consequence of this integration of the this whole plant concept? And would that finally mean that you put together the reporting of these two entities into one? Maybe can you get a little bit more insights on this?
Yeah, you know, the what we want to achieve really is that we take the maximum out of these operations in all dimensions. Clearly, if we have to achieve the level of 5 million tons of slab, then we plan that 2 million are going to Europe and another 3 million are going to U.S. So this shows already that there will be a completely integrated logistics. But the complexity is even higher because it's not only the volume, it's the grade of slab which we need to manage centralized in one unit, because otherwise we will have a problem on our inventory. So what is done right now that we really define, let's say, specific grades of slabs, specific inventory levels on all this, from a global perspective. Secondly, now after having done the erection phase, in order to really get it stable and running, we need people, experienced people out of operation, and we have to take out people who have their specific strengths in construction. So we are very lucky that in Brazilian we could get Mr. Oliveira from CST, who was already running for more than 20 years. Let's say, or he's more than 24 years in the steel business, and being a let's say a Brazilian, I think he can also further increase let's say the sharpness of a Brazilian team over there. In US, the reason why we changed Christoph Lackinger is exactly what I said before. Christoph Lackinger, he was excellent in really building Alabama, because Alabama was in budget, both from an amount and in time. But he's not somebody who has outstanding skills in operating a plant, and that's the reason why we are now looking for a successor who knows whose strength is really operating a mill. Yeah, because this will make the difference when we now go for specification towards our OEMs. And we do believe with this integrated approach, we will harvest synergies. Nevertheless, even if we would at a certain point decide that even by organization we would bring them together, we will keep transparency for you. So this is already what we have agreed. Even if we see a benefit to put it together as an organization in order to give you, let's say, the possibility to control our Americas, we would in any case report Americas separately.
Okay. Yeah, many thanks for the detailed and open answers. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Abati. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. Most of my questions have been already answered. I just have one last. Relative to the production cuts that is supposed to start again from January the 1st, how much of the total you're taking out of the market is related from lower demand from the automotive segment, small and mid-car? Thank you.
Fully catch your question. Can you please repeat it?
Sure. I mean, you're speaking about reducing capacity from January the 1st,
yes.
Closing the blast furnace number 9. This kind of reduction of capacity is related to weaker demand. If we are basically trying to make a split of the weakness of demand, how much of the weakness is related to the automotive segment at the moment, small and mid-car especially, if there is any other, also the luxury car segment, which is basically coming off a bit. Thank you.
Thank you once again that you repeated. So far, we do not see any weakening out of the automotive OEM business. The weakening is coming from all other end customer segments, but not automotive. This, by the way, is also reflected if you look on our components business. As we said before, in here we see even slightly increasing order intakes in the last 2 months. So all other sections, but not automotive OEM.
Yeah, and then a quite mixed picture. So in certain customer segments, you see that one customer is ordering more and the other one less. So it's really a mixed signal that you get out from the market and not a clear picture throughout the industry.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Neil Sampat. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. Just have one question left. Regarding the cost savings of $300 million that you're expecting, could you give us a bit of color as to which divisions you expect them to fall in?
Yes, we can. What I can say so far is most is coming out of, and it's mainly a 50-50 split between procurement and operations that we do see, and the biggest parts are at Steel Europe and Steel Americas.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Luke Pess. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, gentlemen. Three questions. Yeah, if I may. First of all, if you could remind us of any covenant ratio governing your debt.
Luke, the line is very poor, so
yes.
It's very difficult to understand you.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, now much better.
Okay, sorry. Three questions, if I may. First of all, if you could remind us of any covenant ratio. Secondly, if you could perhaps come back once again on the Steel Americas profitability. If I understand right, we should continue to see the same kind of profitability as we saw in Q3 and Q4 for at least two quarters. So whether you would be comfortable with minus €400 million EBIT for next year or even slightly above this kind of figure. And finally, if you could perhaps come back to where you see the medium-term profitability or the normalized profitability for the site versus what you were stating when you budgeted this project. Thank you.
Okay. Let me start with the covenants. We just have one covenant on our debt, which is gearing, which is we have to stay below 150%. So that's a really wide one. We do not have any MEC clauses or anything else like that, so we're pretty safe on that side.
But on the other hand, as you can see, our debt is really in safe haven there, so the situation of liquidity is enough. Profitability regarding the Americas for the future, we don't want to, we cannot be really that explicit on it. In the midterm, and we're not sure on what market prices we will see on customer side, what demand in the U.S. So therefore, that's why we said we don't have the visibility so far. For the upcoming quarters, we have to face that we will have to do some repair works on certain things, and one blast furnace was not operating for 3 weeks. That will be definitely reflected in Q4.
And with regards to normalized profitability, if I may?
Oh, we always said we will comment on that one if we have it stable running, because we always want to be honest to you. Very regularly I shared with you, probably our biggest mistake was overselling in the past. And we said we will make this decision, we'll give you a much better guidance if we have battery C running. And then we see how much we can improve the fuel cost in the blast furnace. I think then we are in a much better position to really give you a decent level. But today, this is not what we want to do.
So perhaps if you allow me to rephrase my question, sorry to bother everyone, but perhaps if you could give an indicative time frame, even though I understand that it's quite market sensitive, as to when you would expect in the most likelihood for these mills to be running at full load.
Yeah, as I said, we from an operational or from a technical standpoint, we believe that we can complete the operation by June, July next year. The decision whether we will then go to the 5 million will depend on the market, because we run it on optimum. It doesn't make sense, even if we would have the capability to go for 5 million, if at the moment, as long as we are not, or let's say, with a significant share in OEMs, we have to optimize between our production capability in tons of slab and the pressure on the market. Yeah. So this is, let's say, the optimization which we have to do each and every month and every quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. The next question comes from the line of Björn Voss. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon. Only two questions left, actually. First of all, you said that the auto market is not showing any signs of weakness. I mean, actually, the U.S. market is proves to be very vital recently. We have a November SAR of 13.6 million. Have you made any progress in the certification process with future customers made recently?
Just to make it clear, the question which I got on the OEM was related to Europe, and it was the question whether the shutdown of Ofen blast furnace number 9, let's say, has a reasoning that the OEM market is weakening. Your statements have to write that in U.S. different picture. Also, we are not so much impacted because our share of OEM is not too big. We are really starting specification with the availability of our galvanized line. We have now material which is of interest. We have right now around about 250 of samples under the specification process with our customers. They normally keep 6 to 9 months. It depends a little bit for specification. And then I think we really can improve the value over time. Nevertheless, for the full year, we will not exceed 10% as OEM. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, could you comment on the rumors of the bids from a financial institution regarding stainless?
What we said, we keep all options over, and that also means that we have options. And you can imagine that on, let's say, the transaction side, we have interest is shown both from financial and strategic companies. But we do not further elaborate today.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Saurabh Kothari. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have only one question left now. Other mills have been attempting to increase steel prices recently. And given, you know, muted demand, we're actually not sure how is that going to stick. What's your view, and do you have any near-term or short-term plans to increase steel prices? Thank you.
There is definitely a need to increase steel prices, and for example, we did so where we can differentiate. For example, we were even the first one who increased prices for stainless in U.S. Because the level was too low. We cannot be the price leader in U.S. On the carbon flat because right now we are still on the commodity pieces. I think then later when we have the premium segment, we will go to a similar pattern than we do in Europe, that we a price has a higher value than pure volume. But there is a need for price increase, definitely.
Okay. Do you have immediate plans for Europe?
Yeah, in Europe, as we said, we will not follow, or we will are not ready to take volume and these ridiculous low prices, which were quoted from companies speculating on a continuous low iron ore price. I cannot today comment, let's say, what the output will be, because negotiations are definitely starting right now for the contract starting first of January, but we will take a very firm position, and I think you have seen that we were able to really turn our contractual conditions in the last 12 months to nearly 100%. I believe that we have a very well-educated sales force. And once again, it shows, if you look, probably you have made this comparison already on our Q4, then you will recognize that we are the margin leader, whereas other went already to the break-even or even below.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of John Klein. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen, and thanks for taking the questions. I have two questions left. One is on the outlook for the U.S. car market. Are you monitoring the inventories over there? Because I yesterday saw statistics that General Motors had the highest inventory of cars in monthly history at 623,000 units, and there could be a sharp drop of demand coming out from that. Are you monitoring this? The second question is on the contracts you are having with your suppliers. It looks like that we're moving towards a monthly or even a spot iron ore market. Rio Tinto just recently stated on their investor day they're shipping about 25% of their volumes on monthly contracts already. Where are your suppliers going, and what is your current structure going forward? Thank you.
Definitely we are screening, let's say, the situation on the U.S. car market intensively, and we have a very good view what goes directly to end customers and what is held, let's say, on the car shops, because this is extremely important for our car component business. So far, we do not see the level unnormal. Naturally, we have in each and every country a kind of a year-end figure making, and the year-end is now in December. This is very normal, but if we compare it with pattern years before, it's not unreasonable. Coming back to our contracts, we have with our OEM manufacturers half-year contracts, and they are very unhappy with them. They would rather like to go back to a yearly contract, and the same is true for other customers. So we will try as hard as possible to at least stay on quarterly contracts with iron ore companies. We even try to convince them to go for hybrid models, saying that where we need to commit longer, they should commit, and that we have a share with maybe half-year contracts and a share then on spot prices. Because there is an unbelievable stress in the supply chain with these high volatility. And I think all people I talk to, with the exception of three companies, are totally unhappy. So we would not, do not have any motivation in going into shorter-term contracts.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Johan Rode. Please go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can I just dig a little bit into the the balance sheet, the PP&E specifically related to the assets now held for sale and disposal. On the face of it, you have moved 2 billion and 70 million euros to reclassify it as assets held for sale or disposal. How does the goodwill feed into this number? I believe you had a goodwill write-down on the stainless business as well. And then going forward in terms of guidance for results, can you just explain it again how the stainless profits or losses will be treated in terms of future guidance, given that it's now reclassified as an asset held for this sale or disposal? Thank you.
Okay. The changes you see compared to last year on our balance sheet, assets held for disposal, is mainly just the stainless business. That's coming out of all single items of the balance sheet. So that's why we go from 790 last year to 5.8 billion this year. The largest portion is just stainless. So if I got your question right, same is true for the liability side, where you see the 3.2 billion coming from 540, the difference mainly stainless, which we do now have on here.
Okay, so effectively that number, that net movement of 2070 is your assessment of the book value of stainless.
As I said, we don't give a clear value on that one, but these calculations are not far off.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Andy Moninta. Please go ahead with your question.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rochus Paunizer. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thanks for taking the follow-up question. Just briefly, for Colli, for clarification reasons, the comments on Inoxum. Does it mean that at the moment there is no offer on the table from whoever, from whatever party, or should we see it in a sense that there will be no comments at the moment on the status of the process in terms of separation?
The second is true. We do not comment on the process, but as I said we go for all options because we have options.
So it could also mean that you split up the European assets and sell it separately.
As we said, we do not comment on it.
And maybe finally on the comments you made on the losses in Steel Americas, I guess it's valid to assume that the run rate of losses for the first half is comparable with the operating losses in the second half of 2011. Knowing that obviously battery sees progressing or ramping up until June, July, so the first quarter where we see a real improvement is probably then the fourth quarter of 2012, where things should look really better. Is that correct?
Steel America is not precise, but I think your overall idea is not totally wrong. The only thing you need to keep in mind that we gave for Q1, the additional information that we had one blast furnace totally stopped for 3 weeks, plus the outage of the gas turbine, which will again impact Q1 a little more than you probably would take out of that calculation which you described.
Okay, that makes absolute sense. Okay.
We have no further questions registered at this time. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Okay. Yeah, then thank you very much, Heinrich. Thank you very much, Guido, for answering all these questions. And thank you very much out there, guys, for attending our conference call today. I would like, again, to remind you that next week we will have our Capital Markets Day for Technologies, and you can also meet Guido Kerkhoff there. And the week thereafter, we will be on the road. You can meet Guido in Paris and in Zurich, and Heinrich in London, and also in Frankfurt. And we look very much forward to seeing you there. And if you might have any further questions, then please contact me or contact the IR team of ThyssenKrupp. Thank you very much, and look forward to speaking with you again.